And start.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I'm Bill Lipinski, and next up is our cleanup hitter, Ray Hanania.
And since I know nothing about sports, baseball, or football, I'm going to assume cleanup hitter is the guy that comes in and saves the day. I don't know, but I am Ray Hanania, and this is Two Guys on Politics. It's February 29, 2024, and this is season three, episode seven. And we have some interesting politics to talk about. We just saw Biden Trump in the Michigan primary elections. We saw that there was a protest from Arab Americans who were angry. They got a big population in Michigan. And also news with the no labels people. Looks like they're getting their act together, right, Bill?
That's
And
right.
we'll see how that may impact JFK's candidacy, because every time our RFK, I should say, will impact RFK's candidacy. And every time we mention Robert F. Kennedy or any Kennedy, we get a big boost in listeners. So we want you to know we will be talking about Kennedy. So don't hang up. Keep watching this program. So let's start. What was your impression from Michigan? What did you think of the election first with Trump and Nikki Haley, who continues to run for president even though she hasn't won a primary yet?
Well, as far as Trump and Nikki Haley goes, I thought that Nikki Haley did pretty well considering where she was in the polls. 2 weeks before the election, she was only getting 19% of the vote. A week before the election, she was only getting 25% of the vote. She wound up getting 29% of the vote. Trump didn't get, the 80% they were predicting for him because Haley got 29. Some of the candidates who used to be on, who used to be running but were still on the, they got about 3%. So I don't think Trump did that well at all. If you go back one to South Carolina, he got 60%. She got 40%. Now, where do those 40% go? Or where do those 29% go if Trump is the president? Do they vote for Trump or do they not vote or do they cross over perhaps and vote for Biden? So I don't think it was a very good night for Trump, no matter how the news media that wants a race between Trump and Biden, how they spin it.
So I was looking at the numbers too. I saw it a little bit differently because if these numbers were Illinois, I would have called Trump winning with a landslide. Because as you point out, I mean he only got 68.2%, which is I think 750,000 votes, but Nikki Haley got 26.5%, which is, I mean he beat her almost 3 to 1, which is significant. And then the balance were, runoff votes for Chris Christie, Ron DeSantis, Asa Hutchinson, Vivek Ramaswamy. And there were even 33,000 uncommitted votes. I think Michigan is one of the few states that allows you to select uncommitted.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, Illinois should do that, right? But we don't.
Oh, heavens no, the Democrats control too much in Illinois. They don't want to change anything.
Yeah, so in the Republican primary, 33,000 uncommitted, but that's only 3%. I think Nikki did terrible. I mean, she did get 293,000 votes, but here's what I thought was really important, because I was looking at the numbers. The Republican, obviously, because there was a contest in the Republican primary, probably about 1.1 million Republicans went to the polls compared to only 758,000 Democrats. And Biden got 81% of the vote, but it was such a low number, 615,000 votes, and the uncommitted only got 13.3% of the vote, the anti-Biden people in the Democratic primary. But that was 100,000 votes. Now that's a landslide too. That's 6 to 1. So, and you and I both know, right? This is still a nomination election. And these numbers don't really reflect what's going to happen into November. You can extrapolate them and say, well, this is a bad sign. I think it's a bad sign for Biden because A total, they only in primaries, a lot of people don't want to vote because they don't want to declare what party they're from. They don't want to say the Republicans or Democrats. And only 1.8 million people in Michigan voted in the primary. But in the last general election, 5.5 million people voted. So you're talking about 3.5 million people that haven't yet voted. Can we look at these numbers and project it to those, 3.5 million and say that, more Republicans are going to come out than Democrats?
No, I don't. I don't think so. And I think it was a bad election for Trump. I don't think Trump is doing that well. But I'll tell you in regards to Biden, as you have said for the past 3 or 4 weeks on this program, Joe Biden is in terrible shape with Arab Muslims in this country. And I think that they demonstrated very, very strongly what you have been saying, that they are not going to vote for Joe Biden. I don't know that they're going to vote for Donald Trump, but I don't see them voting for Biden. I see them perhaps staying home. But if they come out to vote, I think they're going to vote for Trump, unless they vote for our friend Kennedy or the third, the no labels people. But I think that a Michigan election, I hope that Biden gets the message and he finds some way of trying to pull back some of those Muslims and Arabs that he had 4 years ago that he obviously doesn't have at the present time. And it was a very strong, impressive showing, as far as I'm concerned, on the part of the Muslims who wanted people to, to vote non-committal.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing about Michigan and this, they call it the Abandon Biden campaign. So the Arabs and Muslims in a lot of these far left wing and some right wing Arabs, because remember, Arabs are really, when you strip down the politics, Arabs and Muslims are very conservative.
Yes.
We believe in family values. We oppose abortion, with only certain minor restrictions. But we're against this progressive definition of abortions. We believe in religion in schools, prayer in schools, and support for religious schools. And we also believe in this family value that it's a man and a woman constitute the family. I don't like to think that I'm sure some do, but I don't discriminate against gays, but I don't embrace that lifestyle. It's not part of what I believe. In my culture as an Arab American. So we are more aligned with the Republicans on a lot of these major issues than we are with Democrats. The only thing that pushes Arabs and Muslims out of the Democratic circle, out of the Republican circle, is the really deep evangelical conservative movement that brings in Israel, and it forces us into a party that we're not really comfortable in, with the Democratic Party. It really is kind of an unusual quagmire to be in that position.
Well, you shouldn't let one issue determine where you're going to vote or who you're going to vote for.
I totally agree with you, but
Okay.
unfortunately, it's such a big issue for them that it's very hard to do that. See, I try to explain to people that when you vote for somebody, there's no such thing as 100%. If you agree with them 70% in American democracy, Republican or Democrat, I think that's pretty good.
Oh, I
But
agree. There's only one person I voted for president that was perfect, and his name was Ronald Reagan.
right. I mean, since then, there's been good and bad about every candidate since. Besides Reagan, I liked Dwight D. Eisenhower. I thought he was a great president.
I liked Ike too.
I like Ike. That was his slogan. I like Ike.
I like Harry Truman also.
Yeah, you can't get so-so with him.
Oh, I know why too. Yeah.
So, but it's interesting. And here's the real question for Biden. Michigan, I think, shows he is lost because the primary numbers. We're only 1.8 million, and there are 5.5 million that are going to happen in the fall, in November.
Well, last 4 years ago that happened, Ray, but I
Yes,
don't
4 years
know.
ago.
are going to come out this time around. I don't think it says that Biden's lost, but you go ahead and tell me
No.
what you think it is.
Well, I'm arguing that it's the Arabs that are going to come out in November at the same level that they came out in 2020, but this time it's going to be against Biden. So even though it was only 100,000 uncommitted in the Democratic primary against Biden, I think that number rises to 400,000 because there are 500,000 registered voting Arabs and Muslims in Michigan. And there are five other states like that where Biden won by even less. You know, in Michigan, he beat Trump by 150,000 votes, but in some of these other states, he won by only 12,000 votes. It doesn't take much to overcome that lead. And if he loses three states, 37 electoral votes, he cannot get 270 electoral votes to become president.
Well, that's a strong possibility, particularly when you have two other, relatively strong candidates running, Kennedy and the No Labels people.
Well, and maybe this is a good segue to go into that because if Biden doesn't get the 270 electoral college votes that he needs, it doesn't mean that Trump is going to get the 200. It doesn't mean that those Arab voters are going to go to Trump. They
Right.
may go to No Labels or they may go to Robert F. Kennedy when they run in November. But tell us about the No Labels
I don't
party.
know
It seems
I
like
don't
they're
know
getting
who.
their act together.
Yeah, I well they're on the ballot now, I think, in 13 states. But they still don't, they have not announced who their candidate is going to be. Supposedly they're going to plan on doing that after Super Tuesday. Well, then they have to go to a convention in April in Dallas when they will have their presidential candidate and they will have their vice presidential candidate anointed as their official No Labels candidates. I think that's awful late to start a presidential campaign, but let's assume that they have some success. If you have a case where Biden doesn't get enough electoral votes and Trump does not get enough electoral votes, and the way that can happen is if No Labels candidate wins a couple of states, Kennedy wins a couple of states, and I personally believe that's a strong possibility. There will not be enough electoral votes that anyone
Right.
will have. It will go into the House of Representatives. In the House of Representatives, every state gets one single vote. And it supposedly is based upon the popular vote a presidential candidate has gotten. Say in Illinois, no doubt Biden will probably get the popular vote. He'll be first in the popular vote. He won't win it by enough, to get the electoral votes. But if that happens, we could have a situation where Biden, the Republicans won't support Biden, the Democrats won't support Trump, and they might very well pick Kennedy or the third party candidate from No Labels, which I think would be very good for this country
I
because you're
agree.
going to Senate and the House, either controlled by the Democrats or the Republicans. I frankly think the Democrats are going to wind up controlling the Senate and the Republicans are going to wind up controlling the House. But it doesn't really make any difference because there you will have a strong buffer against whoever winds up being the president. So that president is really going to have to be bipartisan to get things done. And that's what the American people would like, a bipartisan president. A House, a Senate, and a president who's not interested in party labels. They're just interested in accomplishing things for the American people.
Well, is there any chance that the No Labels Party would endorse Robert F. Kennedy Jr., for example? He's only gotten on two states. He's fighting to get on other states. And the fact that No Labels is on, I think you said 13 states, he would be smart to try to partner with them. And I wonder if they don't have a candidate this late in the game, whether he might be the best option for them.
He might be, but I don't think they would pick him because they No Labels is a moderate group of people.
Right.
They are probably mo slightly more Republican than Democratic, so I doubt that they would pick a Kennedy as their standard bearer. I could be wrong. I'm not involved with them. I was extremely disappointed when I got involved with them because to me they were moving so slowly. They were never going to be a factor. And I still think that I'm right. But we'll see. But if they do get on the ballot, if Kennedy gets on the ballot in enough states, they can take votes away from the two primary candidates. It could go into the House of Representatives, and it will. We are uncharted grounds because the Constitution says that's how it's going to go. But they don't go into any great details. You know,
right.
who is the person that's going to be selected to cast the votes, you know, for the state of Illinois? No one really knows.
Wow.
It's never happened before. It is not written down in the Constitution.
Right.
So, I mean, we could pick you and say, you know, Joe Biden got more votes than anybody else in the state of Illinois. You go to Washington and you cast your one vote for Joe Biden.
Right.
You get there and you decide, I don't really like Joe Biden. I'm casting my vote for Trump, for the third party. You know,
so you don't have to be, if you're the person, you, if they tell you go cast the vote, you still can vote any way you want then, basically.
Well, there's no place in the Constitution that says that you have to do that.
What a mess. That's going to be a real mess. You know, it does look like, and then on top of all this, we have the legal problems that Donald Trump has if he gets convicted at a level that might prevent him from actually assuming office. Although I think in this past week, he got some, although he's had some losses in court, the one that I think he did get was to push this down the road where it may not be decided until after the election. It'd be interesting to see what would happen if he gets elected. Can he then quickly pardon himself? I mean, certainly. There are a lot of unknown territory here.
Once again, we don't know if he has the power to pardon himself or not. He can pardon anybody else in the world, not in the world, excuse me, in our country. But once again, there's nothing that says it one way or another. It would have to go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court would have to decide if he has that power.
Yeah, that's interesting. So there are so many variables that are up in the air about this election. I think that you can see some trends. Like for me, I mean, I'm looking closely at this abandoned Biden campaign among Arabs and Muslims. It did have an impact. Can they sustain it? Can they sustain that anger through November? Can Biden buy them off with the breadcrumbs that he throws the pigeons, you know, on Lafayette Square in front of the White House? Can they be bought off by breadcrumbs? I think some of them can, you know, because in recent years, most Arab American leaders have been Democratic. They've supported Clinton, they supported Obama, and they've been very opposed to Trump. But Biden has so, in their mind, betrayed them. Remember, he started out like, I want a partnership with the Arabs. He appointed 40 Arabs to different positions in the White House and the Secretary of State's office, but immediately silenced them. You know, he muzzled them. They were not allowed to talk. That was the first sign that I saw when Biden took office, that this wasn't really a genuine thing. So there are a lot of Arabs that when they look at Biden, they think he's more destructive than Trump. And I hear this slogan that keeps coming up, and this is just from the standpoint of Arabs and Muslims. 4 years of Trump doesn't even come close to the disaster and suffering of 4 months of Gaza under Biden. And I'll tell you what, they would rather go back to fighting with Trump over where is the Jerusalem embassy going to be? Is there a Muslim ban? You know, those issues that they really were upset about, rather than get into this, is Biden empowering what they see in their eyes, this killing of all these Palestinians, 30,000 of them have died in Gaza. And we don't even know if that's an accurate number, that people believe it might be higher because the journalists in Gaza are not able to report. You can't get into Gaza to report on what's happening.
Now, whose number is that on the 30,000 Palestinians?
Well, again, that comes from Hamas,
okay.
But it also comes from Palestinian sources. But the Israeli sources, we accept verbatim like it's the Bible. The Arab and Palestinian sources, we question, and you see this in the media, you know, that they just state factually that the Israelis said this, it's true, but the Palestinians, according to the Hamas, backed the health department, they're claiming this. So is it exaggerated? I'm sure it is. Or maybe it's not. We don't know because there are no reporters that are on front line. And something like 100 reporters, if you go to the Committee to Protect Journalists, have been killed in Gaza over the past 5 months. That's a huge number of journalists. Some professional journalists, a lot of freelance journalists, and maybe bloggers. So out of that 100, I would say maybe 30 are actually mainstream journalists, and even 30 is a large number, you know, to have been killed.
Have there been any American journalists killed there?
There have been a couple, there have been several, and actually a lot of American Palestinians have been killed. Now, you know me, I don't believe in this dual citizen stuff. So a
Right.
lot of these
Neither
American,
do I.
yeah,
Right.
I think we should just completely eliminate dual citizen. If you're an American, you're either an American, you should have loyalty to this country. You can favor and love your heritage and love a foreign country, but you shouldn't be a dual citizen where you actually serve in their military. As did our former mayor, Rahm Emanuel. He volunteered and served in the Israeli military,
I
but
think
not
that's
the US
terribly
military.
wrong. I am totally and completely opposed to that. It's just a, I mean, that law was passed, and you're going to love to hear this. That law was passed because of the lobbying of the Jewish American community.
Right.
We wanted to have citizenship in here, our country, and also, and I'll say it, in their country.
And that's grown over the years to other countries.
Yes, it has, definitely. Yep, there. I
And
don't
to me,
know.
it's like, and it's not about Israel. I don't care whether you're Chinese. I don't think you should have Chinese citizenship and American citizenship. I don't think you should have Russian citizenship and American citizenship. I don't think you should have Mexican citizenship and American citizenship. If you're an American, you're an American. End of story. Who you like is your business.
Except if you want to have dual citizenship with Poland or Ireland.
Well, I mean, isn't, you know, there's some non-controversial nations where it seemingly has doesn't have a problem, but the truth is it should be across the board.
I have a problem with that also. I just put that in because I'm half of each. But no, I don't think you should be a citizen of Ireland and the Irish. Not so much the Irish in this country, but Ireland itself pushes that quite a bit.
Yeah.
In fact, if you are, I think if your grandparents, at least one of your grandparents, came from Ireland, they consider you automatically an Irish citizen. I think half of the Irish in this country don't even realize they're also citizens of Ireland, but the Irish don't push it.
No one should be asked to swear an allegiance to a foreign country if you're an American citizen.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I don't think that has to do with anything other than believing in our country and what it stands for, that it certainly undermines us when we have these little gray areas where people can say and do whatever they want. So we're really going into an election. We're going into the We haven't gotten to the conventions yet, which will be this summer. I'm also worried about those conventions. The violence in Chicago, the violence in Milwaukee. I just am worried that you're going to see a delegate get carjacked, get robbed. Citizens are being robbed and carjacked, and the Cook County State's Attorney isn't prosecuting these criminals. They're blaming the victims, you know, of these crimes. And I just can't, I'm just worried about how terrible that's going to be and that it might distract from the politics. Whose hands do you think that plays into if crime dominates the Democratic convention?
Well, I think it plays into Trump's hands
Yeah.
because Trump is viewed as the stronger person for law and order. I'm afraid that the Democratic convention in Chicago is going to look like a much, much worse situation than 1968 in Chicago did. I think 1968 in Chicago is going to be viewed like almost nothing happened compared to what's going to happen this time around. You have all these various groups. I mean, look at how the Democratic Party. At one time, the vast overwhelming majority of Arabs and Muslims were members of the Democratic Party. That certainly isn't true today, you
No,
know.
they're fleeing the
Yeah,
Democratic Party.
absolutely. So many of the white working class have fled the Democratic Party. That's really the basis of Trump's support, is the
Yeah.
white middle class, poor classes of working people. That's the people who really support Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Trump won because there were a lot of Democrats, less income, and according to the media, I don't know if I believe them, less educated. And I think Hillary Clinton destroyed her campaign by referring to them in an entitled way, calling them the deplorables. To be
Right.
called deplorable as an American citizen is so offensive to me, just because I supported, Trump when he first ran. I didn't support him the second time, and now I'm sitting there going, who am I going to vote for? This is a terrible mess, and I bet I'm not the only person, American voter, that's worried about that after these conventions in November. A lot can change, though, right? Between now and November, we've got 8 months.
Absolutely. Sure. Great deal could change. The Democrats could wind up with a different presidential candidate. The Republicans could wind up with a different presidential candidate. And I would certainly like to see that happen. I think we will have to discuss Mitch McConnell. We probably
Yeah.
don't have time to
Yeah.
do it today, but I think that he was a very interesting fellow. And I think we should discuss him because I think we would reveal the fact of why he wound up leaving the Senate.
Do you think it was a combination of constantly fighting with Trump and the Republican leadership and his age? Because, I mean, there were those two incidents where he, quote unquote, froze.
Yes.
That's very difficult to overcome that once that happens, and at a public press conference, to not think that there's a problem there. And it sounds like that's part of the factor. But also, Trump has constantly berated him, even though he voted against impeaching Trump, when Trump was impeached, way back. So it's what do you think is going to happen when he steps down? Who's going to take his place?
Well, the only people I see, well, I don't really want to go into this because I want to spend more time on it next week. But
Okay.
right now, I only see ultra conservatives who are seeking the to replace him. And I think that'd be another nail in the coffin of the Republican Party if they were to select a Senate leader who was an ultra conservative. I can't see it.
All right, one final question before we end the podcast. Nikki Haley, is her
Yes.
strategy, do you think, I'm staying in until the end, that something might happen to Trump? And if, in fact, something does happen to Trump, wouldn't she be the natural then successor for the Republican Party? Is that assumed, or do you think she's assuming too much?
I don't think she's assuming too much. I think she would wind up getting a nomination. I would say that after everything is said and done, she's probably going to average about 35% of the primary turnout, which I think would entitle her to be the presidential candidate. But I think she's hanging in there, expecting Trump to win, but to be defeated in the general election. And then she would be the number one Republican for 4 years from now. For the presidency, having because once if Trump loses in November, you
Right.
can rest assured so many of those Republicans that have been, playing up to him are finally going to open up their mouth and say what a terrible guy he is because he won't be able to influence this
Right.
election, that election. And I think they'll go with her in 4 years.
I personally, I don't think Trump is going to lose. I think the only it won't be the election that forces him to lose. I think it'll be a court verdict that at a federal level that might really cause him some serious problems. But I think Nikki Haley, as you point out, is thinking of the future. Even if Trump wins, she can still be a pretty significant voice in the Republican Party.
If Trump doesn't have her elected on some trumped-up charges and put into jail, you never know with him.
Like some of the trumped-up charges that they're throwing at Trump. I don't know. Listen, I don't understand how they can accuse Trump of throwing him off the Illinois ballot because they said he was involved with the insurrection. He was never convicted of being involved in the insurrection. He was impeached, but it never went to a the Senate rejected, the conviction. So how is it that you're guilty until proven innocent in that process? I don't think that that's going to stand.
Well, I don't think it will stand either. Now, I happen to think he did incite those people to an insurrection, but it hasn't been proven any place in a court of law. And
right.
Until it is proven in a court of law, you can't throw him off the ballot. That's, you know, as much as I would like to see a legitimate cause to get him off the
right.
ballot, you know, I haven't found a legitimate cause as of yet.
I think this hurts our legal system when the legal system can be so easily manipulated. Now, imagine when somebody's in that we like, could they manipulate the legal system to take that person out? So anyway, I'm Ray Hanania.
I'm Bill Lipinski. Until next time, enjoy your life, my fellow Americans.
All right, everybody. Bye-bye. And thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again.